SBS Radio.
Kasama natin sa programa si Stella Chu Freund. Magandang araw sa iyo, Stella.
Magandang tanghali from Cairns.
Yes, and please tell us about yourself. I know that you have been producing TV commercials, radio, and into advertising back in the Philippines. Pero you finished anthropology.
Yes, I graduated long time ago in 1986. My first job was a book on the Philippine Revolution. 1986 was when we toppled Ferdinand Marcos, and that was the year I graduated. And my best friend's family is nearby, you know, near my house. And we collaborated, or I was hired to be an editorial assistant to a wonderful writer and editor by the name of Monina Mercado. And she hired me as her editorial assistant fresh out of college. And I helped make a book called People Power, an Eyewitness History. That was my first job after graduating from, anthropology, sociology and anthropology from the Ateneo.
And you went on to produce some other books or works after that one.
Yes. So after that book, I'd made other books, but she could not sustain hiring me. So I was passed on to the company of her husband, which was then called Footcone and Belding, Basic Footcone and Belding, which is an advertising agency. And I started out an AE, or an account executive, and I had to wear high heels and makeup, and it wasn't me. But from within the advertising agency, I loved the creatives, I loved the writers and the artists, and there was a broadcast department. I could neither write
or draw, but I knew I loved the craft that they were doing, and I discovered producing. Mm. So I became a producer in the broadcast department, and through collaborative work from the agency, I produced TV commercials and radio commercials and audiovisual materials. And through work with that, 7 years, I think 7 years of my life, and I thought, you know, there has to be something more to just making Jollibee commercials, my last commercial was Kotex. I said, I need to do something meaningful. And I left advertising in search of more meaningful subjects. And I started producing documentaries. Luckily, you know, with that background and that training that I learned from advertising, I could move on and produce documentaries. And then I did, in the centennial of our national hero's death anniversary, I produced for Ateneo and Bookmark, you know, the Filipino bookstore. I produced Jose Rizal, Ang Buhay ng Isang Bayani. And that was amazing. That was really a turning point in my life, because through that documentary, I was not quite hired, but I started my own company called Moving Images, and we started making documentaries for Bookmark.
Dito rin ba, from making bookmarks and from producing documentaries, dito rin napasok yung hilig mo into photography?
Hindi ako marunong I have no talent for photography, but I have a talent for working with photographers and writers, and that's how I met my husband. Kailan ba? Way back. 1999? I think 1999, I met him because I needed to buy a photograph. So, you know, while I was making documentaries, I would also sideline in the advertising agency. And I was hired back to do a freelance job for PLDT. PLDT had a series that was called Wildlife Wonders, and that was a series of wildlife from different parts of the Philippines. And part of that series of TV commercials were phone cards, telephone cards.
Mm-mm.
And yung phone card, I needed a whale shark, a turtle, a tarsier, Philippine eagle. So four animals that represented different parts of the Philippines, therefore PLDT's area code, you know, area code for the... It's a
specific provinces. Mm-mm.
Yeah, thematic series. So I met my husband. You know, he's German. His name is Jürgen Freund. And I knew of him before he knew I existed. because I've done a lot of work with WWF Philippines, Worldwide Fund for Nature, or formerly known as World Wildlife Fund. So he had been contributing photos for WWF Philippines, and we met there.
Before meeting your husband, have you imagined yourself doing works for wildlife?
Not full-time, but I had already. You know, even before I met him, I was doing wildlife work with WWF in Donsol.
Yes, yeah.
In Sorsogon. So we started the Butanding interaction work. So WWF was very much in the beginning of Donsol's reincarnation from a sleepy town into whale shark capital of the Philippines and the world. You know, for a while, they were considered whale shark capital of the world. And we were, through WWF, I did a documentary. Well, not a documentary, but the interaction video that people needed to watch before they went into the water to look for Butanding.
Yeah.
So I've been working with wildlife already through WWF.
And fast forward to today, present time, masasabi natin na you've done lots of works, which we will finish the whole program if we talk about all of this. It's a long list. But
it's a long list.
Yes. Can you give us three of your favorite works that you have done for wildlife?
So my husband is a nature, wildlife, and conservation photographer. So we have been doing this together since we got married in 2000. And so our work, he's freelance, so we are freelance and we can be hired to do freelance work. The most significant work that I have ever done in my life was in 2010 for 18 months. We were on an assignment for WWF International. So WWF International sits the office sits in Gland in Switzerland, and we were hired by International to document the Coral Triangle. So our Coral Triangle is very interesting because six countries cover the Coral Triangle. So that's the Philippines, number one, Sabah, Malaysia, a big part of Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and Timor-Leste. And this body of water and the people, the coastal communities there. But let's talk underwater. Let's talk the marine world. It is the highest diversity of marine life on Earth.
Mm, the Coral Triangle.
The Coral Triangle.
Yeah.
So it's a very important place in the world.
Which photograph of the Philippines underwater is your favorite from the Coral Triangle?
Nako, ang dami. Ang dami, dami. Anilao in Batangas. So there is a place there that we love called, I think, Beatrice. Beatrice is our favorite, one of our favorite dive sites. And there's one picture that my husband took that I truly love. It's very ordinary fish. It's called antias or fairy basslets. But there were hundreds of them. And we were there during no tide, and then the tide changed. And once there was no tide to tide change and very strong current, fish came out.
Yeah.
And they were just, wow, you know, from boring to total amazing. So that's one of my favorite pictures. Another one would be the dugong from Palawan. The dugong that we photographed in Club Paradise in Dimakya Island. So that's amazing. You know, not many people get to dive with dugongs, and we spent many, many hours. So I feel very privileged. I totally feel that this is a privilege, what we have been tasked to do and what I've seen through that work.
I think it's a dream job for any photographer or for anyone doing, or anyone who has interest in photography. You go places, you take photographs, you enjoy.
And the experience of the people, that, because, you know, the wildlife is just one thing, but the experience of meeting the locals, wherever, whichever country we went to, that will never leave you, you know. And I blogged about it. So WWF had a dedicated
blog site for us, just for our travels during the 18 months.
And it's called WWF Coral Triangle Blog, isn't it?
Just Google Coral Triangle and Freund and WWF.
Sa mga lugar na napuntahan mo doing the Coral Triangle expedition, ano yung best place to visit in the Philippines para sa'yo that you can recommend to our listeners?
Well, Palawan is amazing. Gonzales also. You know, dami. And not just Marine, you know, we went also to Banaue Rice Terraces and we walked the terraces for 3 days.
You just need to spend time. Time is, that's what we do, you know, when wherever we go, we allot quality time in one place. And when you do that, you go slow and you things unfold. You know,
you go to a reef, you go to a coral reef. If you keep finning and finning, you don't see anything.
Yeah.
But if you stay in one place, the wildlife comes out.
And that's
what we photograph.
Yeah. And what's your next favorite thing?
Food.
Yeah.
Food. Yum. Nako, I miss Philippine food. So I cook. Like whatever I miss in the Philippines, if I get homesick, then I cook it. I cook adobo. I cook biko. I love lying, but I
can't make it well. What else?
In the Philippines, we also went to Bacolod, but not for the Coral Triangle. My husband won some time ago a French competition, photographic competition, which was part of IUCN. And as a reward, or they call it a bursary, we were asked to choose any endangered or any animal we wanted to photograph that IUCN was part of. And I chose the Philippines so I could go back.
And we chose the Philippines and we photographed the golden crowned flying fox, which is a bat, fruit bats.
And they're a very important part of our ecosystem or our environment. I don't know what they're locally called, but they're called the golden crowned flying fox. It's the biggest flying fox in the world.
Wow.
And it's in Bacolod and also in Subic.
And so we went there in 2017. We photographed. They're highly endangered. There are not very many left. So they're difficult to photograph because there are not many left.
What's the best thing about being in the field and doing your work?
Best part of being in the Philippines is, of course, my friends. Being with my dear friends and my family. And that's what I miss being an expert. Well, I'm not quite an expat, but I live here in Australia for 15 years, and I hardly have Filipino friends where I live.
And so that's the best part for me, is being with Filipinos. But we moved to Australia because my husband's a wildlife photographer, and he said, you know, I want to photograph wildlife.
And part of the conservation work was photographing a lot of the issues. And issues would mean fishing, overfishing, destruction. And
that's, certainly we photographed that. But we also, for our soul, he wanted us to be in a place that had living animals. So we moved to Australia.
And did you specifically choose Cairns because it's near the Great Barrier Reef?
The Great Barrier Reef, correct. Yes.
So it means that you have done a lot of diving.
Yes.
What is the best part of diving at the Great Barrier Reef?
The Great Barrier Reef right now, I think one of the best is, it's an animal called the dwarf minke whale. They come from the Antarctic. They come to the Great Barrier Reef to this winter time. Like they start probably end of May until now. Now they're on their way back to Antarctica.
So we've snorkeled with wonderful marine mammals called dwarf minke whales.
So it's a whale?
It's a whale, yes. Balena.
Alam natin ng Great Barrier Reef, it is facing some coral bleaching.
Yes.
How do you use your profession, your work, to give awareness to people in terms of preserving or at least helping to preserve not just at the Great Barrier Reef, but the wildlife or anything, you know, about the environment?
Well, the photographs are very telling. No? We do have photographs of bleaching and dead corals, but that's not engaging. You know, people see so much destruction and they turn off. You know, people turn off. It's too depressing. So we rather talk about what's alive, what's at stake. And so we're going to Canberra. Very soon, we're going to Canberra on the 8th of August. And on the 9th, we have a show at the Canberra Grammar School, the Snow Center, which is an interesting name. The Snow Center is a Snow Center for Education of the Asian Century.
Look at that, huh?
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to give a presentation. And through presentation, we can tell our stories, live presentation, showing the pictures and then telling the stories behind these pictures. They're powerful. Telling these stories are powerful.
I suppose that's
how we do our conservation work.
Yeah. It's like showing what is positive, what is good, maybe for people to see this and be encouraged to do more, to see more of those positive photos.
Yeah. And saying, showing what's at stake. You know, this is what's at stake.
Yes. You have mentioned about the presentation in Canberra on the 9th. What photos are to be expected to be seen at that presentation?
Wow, a lot. Because this is going to be its title. The title is Celebrate Nature with Jürgen Freund. So my husband's career spans 30 years doing this kind of work. So he'll talk about how he started, how his photography started from 30 years ago and until now. And so the highlights so I met him 20 years ago. So 10 years before that, he had his work. And then 20 years, we have worked together. So all the highlight of this amazing career will be shown in Canberra.
And some of those are photos from the Philippines?
Of course. How can it not?
Yes.
One of the most important stories that he photographed is in Pamilakan Island in Bohol. Pamilakan used to be
the grounds,
the island where the hunters came from, hunters of big animals.
So before whales were prohibited from being hunted, they were hunting whales and dolphins. And then there was a ban on that worldwide. And so they moved on from hunting whales and dolphins to hunting whale sharks. And my husband photographed. He's the only photographer in the whole world who photographed the hunting of whale sharks. So that's very significant for him. So we're going to show that. That's a very important story to tell and to... Important because through that story, many years later, the whale shark became protected through CITES, through the Convention of Trade on Endangered Species. And so it's very significant. These stories that he's going to tell during the presentation in Canberra would be quite amazing and quite important stories.
And from one of the blogs I read that during his documentation of that whale shark hunting, he learned something that yung mga taong gumagawa nun, they do it not because they wanted to, but they are forced to because that's the only thing that they know.
Yes, exactly. So there's no blame, you know. He learned from the fishermen that they need to do this. That's the only thing that they knew how. Survival, you know, it's a matter of survival.
WWF was working on the island as well, but, you know, alternative livelihood is slow to come in.
Yeah.
Ecotourism was slow to come in, so they needed to hunt. And it was only when Fidel Ramos, through media, it was only because the Pamilakan hunters started encroaching in Tunsol waters and started hunting whale sharks from Dunsol, that through WWF and my friends in the media and a writer, a famous editor-writer from Philippine Daily Inquirer, her name's Alia Hunasan, and she's my best friend. Alia and I and our eco-warriors from the Philippines, from WWF Philippines, got news out every day on what was happening in Dunsol, where the hunters were coming in, encroaching, and through that pressure, through media pressure, President Ramos proclaimed that whale sharks and manta rays were prohibited from being hunted.
Before, you were saying that you wanted to do more. Nakita mo na ba yon the reason that you are doing what you do?
Yeah, you know, it fills my heart with purpose. When I know through the work that we have done, it somehow added to protection of wildlife. So I can say that through our life together, my husband and I, whale sharks have had its protection. Leatherback turtles have had somehow protection in Indonesia. And Nautilus. So we did a Nautilus story. When I say we did a Nautilus story, we've been contributing photographs and photo stories to European magazines like Geo. Magazine is not National Geographic, but Geo from Germany. And from Germany, from that mother headquarters, it goes out to other geo magazines in different parts of the world. So we did a Nautilus story.
And so for that Nautilus story, we went back to the Philippines and went to Cebu. And in Cebu, in Mactan, is a place called Punta Engaño.
Yeah.
And in Punta Engaño, we saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Nautilus. The shells traded for decorative items. And so we photographed all of this. And, you know, when we photographed, we also tried to look for where the hunting came from. So yeah. We would go to Bohol or Palawan. So we went to Palawan. We went to Palawan and we saw them in Balabac. Yeah, and in Rojas, also in Cagayan Silio, in the Sulu Sea. So many, many places, because the Philippines has very deep waters, and Nautilus can be found in deep waters.
Mm.
So through all this documenting and storytelling and photos, and it's somehow used and helps scientists tell their story. And scientists are the ones who lobby for protection of species. So it's quite important for me personally. It's quite a purpose. Mm.
And it's contributing to really preserve and conserve what we have now for the next generation to see, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So people can see them, you know. Donsol, it attracts thousands of people. And now Oslo as well. I think it's all management issues, but the fact is the animal is protected.
If you have one or two lessons that you learn from all your travels and your documenting, all the work that you do, what are those two lessons that you can share?
What lessons? You know, be conscious. Be conscious of what you consume and probably what is it that you want and what is it that you need? Do you really need? Do you just want it? And
keep a life of simplicity. Really, it's very easy to be consumed by what's new. But if we have a disposition of care for the earth, we really need very few to survive. You know, we eat, we drink, we're clothed. You don't need the best clothes. You don't need the newest clothes. What I love about where we live in Australia are the op shops.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can hear some of the birds chirping there.
Yeah, I live in a wonderful part of Australia. So that's far north Queensland. You know, we have birds around us and we have fresh air. And that's it.
Mm.
Don't take things for granted. You know, if we breathe fresh air, it's a gift.
At sinasabi nila, sa bawat pag-unlad, napapabayaan na natin yung kapaligiran or the earth where we live in.
Talaga. Yung progress, it's changing, no? But the world sees as progress, as what does it really mean? So existential na ang problema ngayon. How to exist, how to survive. It's quite complex.
To invite again our listeners to your husband's presentation. Your husband is just to mention to our listeners, he has won many awards such as the BBC Wildlife Photographer of the Year, World Press Photo, and Nature's Best.
Yes. In fact, he's been among the winners of Wildlife Photographer of the Year 9 times.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a really prestigious award-giving body that's been in the UK. So it's in London. It's a natural history museum. He's a judge this year of the competition.
Yes, because he has won many, so he can't win anymore.
Yeah. And this is the 55th year of the competition. He's one of the judges.
Yeah.
And so that's a really, really good accolade for his ability as a photographer. And so our presentation is called Celebrate Nature with Jürgen Freund. So that's on the 9th of August in Canberra at the Snow Center in the Canberra Grammar School. It's open to all. It's from 6 to 9 in the evening. The website is jürgenfreund.com. So it's JürgenFreund.com, JürgenFreund.com. So I think it's in the homepage.
And also, they'll be able to see through your website some of the works that you've been doing.
That's true. You will spend lots of hours.
I know, it's amazing.
That's great. Thank you.
So any upcoming documentation that you will be doing?
Well, after Canberra, we're going to Tonga. We leave right after mid of this month. We're going to to Tonga to swim with humpback whales. So it's a tour. It's a photographic tour that we do every year. Yeah, so it's going to be amazing. Swimming us in snorkeling with humpback whales.
Wow.
It is one of the most amazing experiences that one can ever experience. You know, it's a very, very big animal. And you're swimming in their waters and they're eyeballing you. And we did it in 2007. And this year we're privileged again to be leading two groups to swim with humpback whales.
And who is this work for?
It's called Wild Diaries. It's wildlife experiences with a difference because we do it ethically. We do tours that are mindful of where you are, your interaction with the natural resources or the wildlife. So we don't swim with baby humpback whales. Mm. We swim with the adults because the babies are very, very sensitive during the time that they're suckling. That's why they're in Tonga, because they give birth. The mothers give birth. So while the mothers have their babies suckling, that's precious time for the baby to gain enough weight for the travel from Tonga to Antarctica. Wild Diaries have a very strict ethical code, and this is the first year we're doing a photo tour and we're leading it.
Wow. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be an amazing experience. Like hearing you talk about it, you'll be able to swim with the mother humpbacks. Also, you realize that they gave birth and preparing their babies to swim to Antarctica.
Yes.
It's a big job, actually, for them.
It's a big job.
Yeah.
And not just the mothers, but also the escorts. They're called escorts, the male humpback whales.
Wow.
Will be there as well. It's, a very amazing experience to be able to swim with them. And then also from the boat, you will see them breach and you will see them do all their behaviors as marine mammals. I'm very privileged to be able to do this.
And you would not choose any other work?
No, I can't go back to a work of someone in the office. Even, you know, sometimes I think, can I go back to advertising?
Yeah.
In my life, in my 20s, I don't think I can.
If I were you, I would also choose what you have now. For our listeners, what do you think is the best that they can do in their own personal way in trying to help preserve our world?
Mindfulness. Be mindful of everything that you do in the everyday. So there's a lot of advice already, you know, plastics. And it's hard. It's hard to not have plastic.
Mm.
So it's really learn as much as you can, study, read, and adjust your life accordingly. And if you don't know, ask. You know, there are many, many wonderful groups out there. And then if you want to contribute money, there are wonderful groups that you can contribute money to. And then see the world as well. And there are a lot of times when, you know, we're in so first world, it's Australia. And people that meet us, they get really inspired by what we do. And they'll ask, what can we do? And first, my husband and I, our suggestion always, if you're just graduated from university or you want to do something meaningful, go to the Philippines. We'll say, go and volunteer and stay a month somewhere that you're volunteering your work. And that changes someone's life. You know, that can change someone's attitude in life. And from being spoiled and being complaining about nothing, all of a sudden you get to appreciate what real hardship is. And yet, in that hardship in the Philippines, you experience a lot of joy. People don't have a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's through experiencing that you really realize and be aware that it is not just your world, but it's everyone's world, isn't it?
It is. Yes. Yes. And every action makes, there is a corresponding repercussion. So mindfulness, I think, you know, just be aware and be conscious and
empathy,
I think also. Be empathetic of what's happening to others, not just yourself. Because if you're introspective too much, then there's no generosity. But if you look
at others and have empathy, I think there's going to be more meaning in someone's life.
And as they say, we will be living in a better world.
I hope.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Stella Tru Freund.
Thank you.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.